This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Welcome, everybody, to The Adam Ritz Show. I'm your host, Adam Ritz. Jay Baker is a good friend of mine, and he's joining me on the phone. He's a broadcasting legend, and you get to put on your resume, along with your legendary career, that you are a member of the world-famous public affairs show, The Adam Ritz Show. So you're welcome, Jay.
No, I appreciate that. You would love to know that when I chat with people in public and they'll say, hey, so what are you up to? And then I tell them, I do a public affairs show. They have a look on their face like a dog seeing a card trick.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, all the broadcasting accolades you've had in the last 35 years, and you get to tell people you're on a public affairs show now. So, yeah, that's cool. Hey, you know what? It works out for everybody because we get to talk about some pretty cool stuff in the world of public affairs and community service. And, you know, for our listeners, you and I, we don't know what we're going to talk about when we record the show. You bring topics, I bring topics. And I have a feeling that this first story I want to talk about is on your list as well. Here we go. You ready?
I'm ready.
The Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York just received a $1 billion donation. Is that on your list to talk about?
That is not on my list. I am astounded. You know, we've seen, you know, universities get, you know, grants and all kinds of things, but $1 billion?
Yeah, a billion with a B. You got to say it like Dr. Evil, $1 billion at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine. And here's the backstory. Ruth Goetzmann, I hope I said that right. She's the chairperson of the college's board of trustees. She made the donation using money left to her by her late husband, David Goetzmann. And together, David and Ruth, they've been working with and for the Albert Einstein College of Medicine since about 1968. She first joined their staff in 1968. With the Children's Evaluation and Rehabilitation Center, where she conducted research about learning difficulties in children. So their heart and soul is with this university. It's a med school in the Bronx. And because of this $1 billion donation now, the students at the university in med school will be tuition-free in perpetuity. So there will never be another med student at this med school pay for tuition. Is that that's just unbelievable?
Well, that's, you know, that just shows you the power of philanthropy. This is, you know, a topic that we've probably exhausted, but it just keeps bearing repeating. These gifts are changing lives.
For certain. And if you're worried, Jay, I know you are about the students there right now in the spring semester that have already paid tuition. They're going to get reimbursed for this semester. So
you go.
That's my luck. I'm in the last semester of my college career at med school, and they just announced that everybody else after me is going to get free tuition. So don't worry about those spring students this semester. They will be reimbursed, and everybody from this point forward in perpetuity will be tuition-free thanks to the $1 billion gift by the Goetzmanns. That's just an amazing story. And I wasn't aware of the Einstein College of Medicine. Have you heard of that university?
I had not.
Their football team's not that good, but it's in the Bronx, and it's been around for a long time.
Yeah, they probably don't have a marching band because they're a medical school, but so we probably won't see them show up in a parade somewhere.
I'm going to get online and maybe see if they have any merch, any swag. I might need a t-shirt with the Einstein College of Medicine. I mean, what do you say to your doctor when he gives that graduated from there? Who do you think you are, Albert Einstein? I mean, that's talk about bragging rights when you've got
a
diploma, when Einstein is on your diploma. All right, Jay, here's another story that happened a few weeks ago. We didn't touch on this, but I wanted to bring it back up. And a lot of our listeners have probably heard the story of Charlotte Cowles. She's a financial columnist, and she was scammed out of $50,000. Did you pick up on this story a couple of weeks ago?
I think that we had brought up this particular individual because that name sounds so familiar.
We always are talking about scams and just being aware of the scams through technology now with text messaging and phone calls and bots and AI that reach out to you to tell you that you have an invoice or a bill that you owe. And it's just a numbers game for them. They're sending out enough of these messages that if just a few people answer back, they make their money. Well, this financial columnist made her story public to try to help other people, to warn people that, you know, it's not just the elderly that are being preyed upon. And she admits, here's a quote from her interview, it's deeply embarrassing, and she wanted to tell the story because there's no stereotypical scam victim. And she knows this from personal experience because since the story broke, she's received thousands of emails from other professionals, doctors, lawyers, government employees that have all been victims of scams. Yes. So there's really no one type of person who's vulnerable. All of us are. All you need to do is just let your guard down once and click on something once and give a routing number or a credit card number once. And that's how they get you. So still just very topical for scam awareness. Wherever you go, just always be on the lookout for something. You know, when you get one of these messages, really stop and think, how many red flags are here? Could this be legitimate? And if you really think it's legitimate and their fear, you have that fear that you're going to get a lien against you or your credit's going to be ruined because of this, what the scam's telling you, reach out. You do the one-way communication and reach out to your bank or you reach out to the creditor to see if it's legit. They always say that the CIA will never call you. That was part of this scam. She received a phone call from someone claiming to be in the CIA that needed $50,000 cash from her to save her credit or her account or whatever. And she admitted that it seemed like a red flag, but just if there was just a scintilla of a chance this was real, she didn't want to be in trouble.
Well, yeah, and you and I were talking about one of the original scams that was targeted towards senior citizens. The older generation knows how important their Social Security number is. So they were receiving calls that said, your Social Security number will be deactivated if you don't contact us. Well, all of a sudden, that pushed past all the safety points for them because they were saying, hey, wait a minute, that's pretty serious. I need to get on this right away. You and I had made the comment amongst ourselves, the government uses your Social Security number to tax you, so they would never deactivate that number. No. Are you kidding me?
They need that one for sure.
Yeah, but it just shows you, like you said, it does prey on emotions. It does prey on our sense of that this may be incredibly important. And you're absolutely correct. They use technology and they use fear and they use the combination of the two. And it can happen to anybody. There was a great article not too long ago about municipal, what's happening about fraudulent employees within municipalities. Municipal fraud is like the number one money waster in America. Mm. And so I want to do a story on that sometime, but I've read a couple of articles and it just makes your jaw drop open. And so municipalities and then individuals are at risk of, you know, these people sadly are good at what they do.
You know, that's what they do all day, every day. They know all the tricks of the trade and they know all the how to use technology in to their advantage. And you throw in the AI and the bots and, you know, it's not anything that's going away and it's going to get worse before it gets better. The only way that we can combat it is with awareness. So just keep that on the tip of your tongue as you get through the day and as you get a text message from some organization you've never heard of. Do your research before you just blindly click on it and say, okay, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's another thing that came up on our radar this week. You won't know that in the past we've talked about various vehicle recalls. Obviously, this doesn't affect millions of individuals, but you always want to keep up. Next time you take your car in for service, most repair facilities can check to see if there's any recall issues, safety recall issues for your vehicle. But also we know that our food supply can become a situation where we have to be careful. And I'm bringing this up because this largely affects the Southeast and East Coast, but this is amazingly serious. The FDA is warning customers that cinnamon applesauce pouches made by the company Wanabana, Schnucks, and Weis brand were linked to 400 childhood lead poisoning cases.
Oh, man, that's quite a number.
Yeah, apparently what happens is there are some unscrupulous people in the food industry that are using small amounts of metal to increase the weight of food in packaging.
What?
I mean, it's crazy when you hear about this. The FDA had tracked this down and thought, well, this might have been the reason for the lead poisoning. But it wasn't linked to that. It was linked to somebody else. And when it dawned on them just the severity of the problem, they realized that thousands of these packages of cinnamon applesauce pouches had made it to stores and that sadly kids were ingesting them.
And that's been a certified recall on this product? What's it called again?
Yeah, it's a food recall. They're basically saying that these brands, Wanabana, Schnucks, and Weis brand cinnamon applesauce pouches, may be linked to a lead poisoning scare and that you should dispose of this immediately. In fact, they say the recalled products should be opened carefully and emptied, and the contents emptied into the garbage. If you ever worry about food or you want to check on food tampering and recalls and things of that nature, the website is thankfully very easy to get to. It's FDA, which stands for the Food and Drug Administration, FDA.gov.
Very good information, FDA.gov, for all your food recall information. Thank you, Jay.
Hey, here's kind of a weird thing. I just bring this up because, you know, we look at different economic issues and people's convenience. And, you know, I think we really did a great service when people were locked down during the pandemic. We chuckled a little bit, not because we laugh at trends, but for sure in America, the sale of alcohol went way up during the pandemic. One of the companies that helped deliver alcohol is now officially out of business.
Really?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of a company called Drizzly?
Drizzly. Boy, they did a lot of advertising maybe 3 or 4 years ago, didn't they?
Yes.
It seems to ring a bell.
Yes.
It was like an Uber or a food delivery service, but it was for alcohol?
Yes. In fact, it's an offshoot of Uber. They're based in San Francisco. They're going to be shutting the app down by the end of March. Uber purchased Drizzly in 2021. At that time, the alcohol delivery app served more than 1,400 cities, grew to become North America's largest online alcohol retailer. So I guess that's the reason I'm bringing this up. It's astonishing that you can have such market success in 2021. And then when the market changes, because many of the pandemic lockdown and quarantines are behind us now, that this company is actually going to be disbanded.
You know, I suppose from an alcoholics awareness perspective, this is all good news. The harder it is to have something damaging delivered to your home, that's kind of good news in our public affairs world.
Yeah, we've always talked about, you know, moderation is literally the key for everything. But I just thought that that was kind of an interesting story. And it does show you how here in America that the landscape changes. One of the things we love to do on this show is give kudos to rock stars that do good things. As you well know, as we all knew rock stars as bad boys. We couldn't expect any member of Motley Crue to do something good for the community. Could we now?
Oh,
why no?
It can't be possible.
But this is a great story. Joe Walsh announced that his Vets Aid show back in November in California raised $250,000 that will be distributed to 14 veterans organizations based in Southern California.
Well, that is pretty amazing from the Eagle, Joe Walsh. That's awesome. $250,000.
Yeah, he had quite a lineup too. He had Stephen Stills with him. Joe Walsh performed. ELO performed. Jack Temkin, who wrote a bunch of great songs for the Eagles. And also one of the performances was from the San Diego Marine Band. The Marines, you expect they're a good band to have, because if any problems break out during the performance, they can quickly take care of anything and everything.
They can go black ops on you during the encore. Now, did the San Diego Marine Band play Motley Crue songs, or how are we figuring Motley Crue into this?
Well, I just tossed in that, you know, we expect the worst from our rock stars, but once in a while, the rock stars can say, hey, look, we did something positive.
Well, I know.
But I think the San Diego Marine Band, hopefully they did a couple of Motley Crue covers, you would hope.
Vince Neil, I think, is a regular listener of the show, and I'm sure he'll be contacting us to pitch us on a charity concert we can do with Motley Crue.
That'd be great. Now, you know that when the Marine Corps band is playing, that they always get plenty of applause.
You have to clap for them or you'll
be
in trouble.
Yes, sir. That was a great performance, sir.
Sir, yes, sir.
Hey, here's another guy who's been in the news doing good stuff. Jason Kelce earned a new title not too long ago. He has been hailed as a man of the people after photos of him running in a charity 5K went viral.
Oh, I didn't see those pics. Yeah, where was this?
He was participating in an event in New Jersey, which is kind of interesting because, you know, we know that Mr. Kelce is sort of Kansas City based, but he was participating in the Mike's Seafood Run Walk for Autism, which raises money to benefit adults with autism and the families of children diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder.
That is such a great cause, and I'm so glad that somebody with as high profile as Jason Kelce. Was it Jason or Travis?
Well, there we go. I messed myself up already. This was Jason Kelce, who is, of course, associated with the Eagles.
Okay.
My bad.
So, you know, it's hard to keep them straight, to be honest with you.
It's tough to keep the Kelce straight. They both do pretty good stuff, and they're in the news, and it's 99% positive. So.
Yeah. They're NFL players. They're brothers. They both have the name Kelce, and they're both Super Bowl champions, and they're both on the same podcast. The main difference is one of them is dating the most famous woman on planet Earth, and the other one isn't.
You're right.
Jason Kelce, he's the Philadelphia Eagle. So that would make more sense that the East Coast Kelce was running in the New Jersey 5K.
Even for me, sometimes there's that duh moment during the show where you go, duh. But yes, Jason Kelce has long been tied to autism research. He actually created a foundation led by the Eagles team owner and CEO, Jeff Lurie, to raise money for autism research. That their organization has been up for about 5 years. Ever since the organization's inception, Kelsey has gotten numerous family members involved with the cause, including his wife, Kylie, who is semi-famous in Eagle circles, but not as big as his brother's girlfriend.
Yeah, Kylie, she's well known, but she just does not have as many album sales as Travis's girlfriend.
She's down just a little bit in album sales. Hey, now here's, I always love these what if questions, because this is going to actually happen for somebody, but they haven't yet found all the participants. But NASA is looking for someone who might be willing to put their lives on hold for about a year and live inside their Mars simulator.
There are going to be so many people that want to do that. Not me, not you, but there's a lot of people that would do that.
Not too long ago, remember, it's almost kind of like a Sophie's Choice question. They haven't determined exactly how we're going to get human beings to Mars. Now, we can get to Mars, but you and I know it's not quite like jumping on your favorite airline flight to Orlando. There's more to it than that to get actual people and enough supplies to set up on Mars. But the old Sophie's Choice question, the original idea was, would you go to Mars to help colonize Mars, knowing that there's no safe way for you to return?
You'd never come home. But you'd be you'd be part of human history. Would you do it?
You'd be part of history. And there were a number of people that applied to be part of that project. Now, this project's slightly different. They actually have what they call a Mars simulator. It's the Mars Dune Alpha at the Johnson Space Center in Houston. And you'll basically simulate what it would be like to live on a colony in Mars, including resource limitations, equipment failures, communication delays, and other environmental stressors.
Yeah, you're not selling me on this. Take me off the list.
Now, they'll be asked to perform some fun tasks like spacewalk, robotic operations, habitat maintenance, exercise, and crop growth. Now, this is listed under fun tasks. I'm sorry, crop growth doesn't strike me as particularly fun. If you did see the one movie where I think Ben Affleck was Matt Damon was he stranded on Mars?
He was on Mars. That movie was called The Martian.
Yeah,
he was a Martian.
Pleasant. The crop growing in that was unpleasant.
That was very unpleasant. If you saw the movie, I don't know if we should paint the picture on the air, but he had to grow potatoes and he had to do it in a very unpleasant way.
But if you want to get a hold of NASA, you've got until April 2nd to apply to be part of the Mars simulation. Now, they are saying that compensation is available. The amount of compensation is not indicated, but that'll be discussed later. Though they're saying here, don't expect to get rich.
Well, I would go to that meeting and say, I will do it only if I can grow potatoes the way Matt Damon did in The Martian.
I'm thinking they do lock you in. I think that's kind of reading between the lines. The reason why it's not going to be unpleasant, but it's going to be challenging.
And if you grow your potatoes that way for a year, then when the experiment is over, people can say thank you for your service because of what you've done for mankind here on Earth.
Absolutely. Now, here's an interesting perk. Not sure this would work for every company, but it's called the 333 perk. It pays for three workers to go out after 3 p.m. A company is actually paying their workers to hang out with each other, and it turns out it is good for business.
Okay, you get three workers to go out after 3 p.m. for 3 hours? Or what's the third three?
Well, here's how the three works. I know it sounds complicated.
Because this actually sounds kind of awful. You're telling me I have to go out for from 3 to 6 p.m. with two other people I work with? I'd rather just stay at work.
The company is called Verconda, and their CEO recently shared the details on a podcast. He said it started last April. It's been a hit with the 333 program. Three or more employees go out together after 3 p.m. They can expense up to $30 per person, and there's no pre-approval required. The only requirement is they post a photo on their Slack channel when they're done.
Okay. Yeah. You know, that's, I guess I can see team building, camaraderie, a lot of support here for culture in the office. Yeah, I can see this.
It's an upgrade on the traditional happy hour. And what happens is, you know, the nice part is the company pays for everything. So it's kind of a nice deal for them. They realize that while you're out and they feel that the number three is important because you'll socialize a little bit more. Chances are you'll talk about something that's relevant to work or work related. And ultimately, it will benefit the company.
Sure. I buy into this. Let's do it. Jay, you and I, let's find one more person at 3 o'clock today and leave the office.
1,800 employees, and they say that they've encouraged everybody to use the perk at least once. And they're encouraging most of their employees to do it once a week. So it's pretty impressive that something that's sort of social is working for that company.
Yeah, once a week, that seems like a lot.
It does seem like a lot. You know, when I read these things, I'm always thinking, that just sounds too good. But then, you know, we've also heard that, you know, at the Google campus, they have unlimited breakfast cereal. So, you know, sometimes these things just seem better than they really are, you know?
And that is certainly a better perk. Free breakfast cereal.
I could go for unlimited breakfast cereal. Who couldn't?
Who couldn't?
Now, I don't know if the Guardians spring training complex has unlimited breakfast cereal, but believe it or not, they have a bunch of chess players.
Really? Up there in Cleveland, their spring training is chess
their
is taking over the locker room?
Their spring training is in Goodyear, Arizona, and they partnered with chess.com. They just hosted their first tournament for charity on a website that's been known to work with NFL players. And believe it or not, they say it's been the perfect match for the major league team, the Guardians. They started playing chess. This is kind of weird. But then this shows you what happens with sports teams. It's a group of guys together for a long time. And in baseball, you know, you have to do stuff like wait out for doubleheaders and, you know, rain delays and things like that. They started playing chess in their clubhouse about 5 years ago.
I don't know if this helps their, free agency or the draft. If somebody that like hates chess, if they're like, I don't want to play for Cleveland. There's no way I'm going to be a Guardian because I don't want to play chess.
I don't want to play chess. Well, this apparently started as a way to break up the monotony. They used to play cards like crazy, and I guess that's somewhat of a major league tradition, but they switched over to chess. They had been playing chess against students at a high school chess club in Cleveland.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah, and their tournament that they just participated in, 8 participants from the team entered into the contest. Chess.com put up $10,000. And the first place Guardians player took home $6,000 to donate to a charity of his choice.
This is a fantastic story. I love that.
No, it's kind of cool.
It's very cool. I can see more of this happening in locker rooms across the globe, any sport, any level. Pro, college, I mean, you name it. There's going to be downtime, and there's one thing about athletes, they like to play games, and they like to compete. And if you can't get on the court or on the field to play, you're going to play some sort of game, card game, checkers, chess, anything in the locker room. And if a .com can get involved and sponsor it and put up money for charity, I love this story. Thank you, Jay Baker.
There you go.
And to our audience, if you'd like to check out this episode or any of our past shows, you can do so on the website, adamritzshow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.